DC.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The United States Marshal Service has a critical mission. Managing its resources efficiently and effectively is key to the Marshal Service successfully meeting that mission. What is the financial management modernization strategy for the U.S. Marshal Service? What role does the Unified Financial Management System, or UFMS, play in meeting this strategy? And how do you manage a large financial systems implementation? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the United States Marshal Service. Ed, welcome to the show.
Appreciate being here this morning.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Lori Feller. Lori, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Ed, before we delve into specific initiatives, let's start off by learning more about your organization. Can you briefly describe and tell us more about the mission and evolution of the U.S. Marshal Service? How does it support the overall mission of the U.S. Department of Justice?
The U.S. Marshal Service is often characterized as the hub of the federal law enforcement mission because the Marshal Service handles all the different prisoners that are arrested by the law enforcement agencies, including the U.S. Marshals, which makes a tremendous number of arrests. The Marshal Service brings prisoners to court, maintains the security of all participants in the courtroom, including the judges, the attorneys, and the public that's in there. So the Marshal Service plays a vital role in federal law enforcement and has done so for 222 years. Knowing you're part of an organization with deep roots, to realize that it was President George Washington who appointed the first 13 U.S. Marshals in 1789. So it's one of the aspects of the organization that really appealed to me as a place to work is being part of an organization with such a deep, long history and part of the American story of our democratic system. So the Marshal Service is key. Its mission has always been judicial protection, and it's also expanded into a lot of other areas, most notably the apprehension of fugitives. Asset seizure and forfeiture is a key part of our mission, and most recently, the mission expanded to include the Adam Walsh Act enforcement, which is making sure that people registered sex offenders do what they're required to do by law and register, and if not, they're subject to penalty.
So, Ed, with such an important mission and a long history, would you describe for us the Marshal Service organization and its geographical footprint?
Sure. The Marshal Service is headquartered in Arlington, Virginia. It's led by a presidentially appointed director. President Obama on January 3rd appointed Stacey Hilden to be the director of the Marshal Service. Stacey has been a career deputy U.S. Marshal and has had an accomplished career in both operational and administrative aspects of the agency. We have the backbone of the Marshal Service is our 94 judicial districts. Everywhere where there's a federal court, you will find the U.S. Marshals. So most members of the public whose exposure to the Marshal Service would come from any time they would have a reason to be at the federal court. At the doors of the court, you'll find court security officers who the Marshal Service has under contract to make sure that people entering the courthouse do so safely and securely. And then around the country, like I mentioned, it's the continental United States. You'll find the U.S. Marshals. You'll also find us in Alaska, Guam, Hawaii. Like I said, everywhere where there's a United States District Court, you'll find the U.S. Marshal Service.
That's a very good overview of the operation and mission of the Marshals Service. But I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about your role within the service. And in particular, what are your responsibilities and duties as the Unified Financial Management System, or UFMS, project executive? And how does your work support the mission of the Marshals Service?
Well, my duties as the Unified Financial Management System project executive at the United States Marshals Service are to lead the implementation of the UFMS at the U.S. Marshals Service. So simply put, my job is to, you know, help make it happen, to see to it that the UFMS is implemented at Marshals. Briefly about that, the system, the Department of Justice under Attorney General John Ashcroft in the early 2000s committed to working toward, you know, having a single integrated financial management system for the components of the department. Quite a bit of time was spent in all the preliminary activities and what I call base building activities to make sure that the system being built had the correct foundation to support adding all those components of justice onto it. The first component that came up on UFMS was the Drug Enforcement Administration. That happened in January of 2009. Most recently, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms became the second large law enforcement component to come up on UFMS. There have been other pilots and smaller endeavors, but when you look at coast-to-coast or around-the-globe organizations, it was DEA first and ATF second. Well, the U.S. Marshals was next up in line, and so I was provided the opportunity to play that lead role in making it happen, and I accepted that gladly because I really wanted to see. I knew that it was in the best interest of the department and the best interest of the Marshals Service to get this done and to make it happen, and so that's what we're doing right now.
Ed, so as you talk about how this is in the best interest of the Marshals and the best interest of the department, what are the top three challenges that you're facing in your position, and what have you done and what have you sought to address those challenges?
Well, this is, I'd say the challenge number one is we're doing something that has not been done before. It's something large, and I use the term unprecedented because the Marshals Service and the department have not before worked to come together on a new financial system like we're doing here. So while we have other examples, like I mentioned, DEA and ATF, while we have systems development lifecycle process that's in place, we are doing something that's never been done before, which makes it really interesting and exciting for me, but also, you know, adds some particular challenges. What oftentimes in this type of project is a big challenge is making sure you have the funding. Fortunately, this project, we were able to secure the funding up front, so that aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, fortunately was taken care of. So that challenge, there's still, we have to make sure we operate within the funds available, but fortunately that challenge is taken care of. I think the third challenge is so often what happens in a case like this is it's the incorporating the change management aspects of bringing in a modern new financial system and replacing a system that people have used for quite a long time. It served our current system served the Marshals Service well. However, we're an agency that's grown a lot and really needs something more robust to take us from where we are today on into the future.
Ed, I'd like to learn more about you. Would you describe your career path for your listeners? How did you begin your career, and what brought you to your current leadership position?
Well, thank you for asking, Lori, about that. I graduated from Frostburg State College in May of 1982, and in January I got my first job with the Justice Department as a budget analyst in the Justice Management Division. What I really liked about that assignment was working on the budget staff in Justice Management. It provided I talked earlier about this, the center, the hub of the wheel in the center. When you work in a large organization like Justice, to start out in a place where you get to see the entire agency from the main Justice building, it really provided a good overview of all the different components, the FBI, U.S. attorneys, all the different places that work together to accomplish the mission that have been bestowed on the Attorney General. So fortunately, I was able to not just stay in the one seat for a while. I moved to a different group on the budget staff and found that I had a particular interest in financial management. So I spent time as both a budget analyst and a financial systems analyst coming up. Then I had an opportunity to be an assistant director on the finance staff within JMD. That provided, again, an opportunity that was in the late 80s, early 90s, to understand the challenges that an agency has in providing all aspects of financial management, from, you know, paying travelers, paying vendors, running a system, producing reports, providing outstanding customer service. So that was an outstanding opportunity. Throughout the 90s, most of my career was spent back in the budget office as an assistant director, which was an opportunity. We had a really top-notch, outstanding group of people working there at the time, and really feel like we accomplished a lot as the agency grew in the war on drugs and a lot of the other major law enforcement initiatives that came around at that time. In 1999, I accepted the responsibility to be the chief financial officer for the United States Marshal Service, which is one of the department components. And the U.S. Marshal Service was an agency that always intrigued me and interested me, because along the way I learned a lot about asset forfeiture and the different work that, you know, that the agency did. So I served in that position right up until the opportunity to run the UFMS project came along. It was a great opportunity, one I look forward to, and one I'm enjoying doing now.
Ed, any large-scale system implementation rests on, its success rests on good leadership. Through that prism, in your mind, what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
I believe number one characteristic of an effective leader is really a positive outlook and a positive belief in the mission of what is trying to be accomplished. We face many obstacles, many hurdles in accomplishing something, large and intense, like bringing in a financial system. So what I try to bring to work with me every day is a strong, firm commitment and belief that what we're doing is important and what we're doing is appreciated and what we're doing is going to make a difference both in the short term and the long term. I attempt to make that message clear all day, every day, with the people I work with and those I interact with. So I believe that's the first key. And a strong leader is really a positive outlook. Secondly, it's an ability to face obstacles, take them on head on, recognize we are going to have issues, problems, and challenges. That's part of what the workday brings, you know. And so we have to not run from them or avoid them, but find a way to work together as a team to take on the tough issues that face us with, again, the commitment to saying, you know, as I said yesterday, you know, one day we'll hoist the Lombardi Trophy together. So that's what I believe in the leadership.
What is the Unified Financial Management System, or UFMS, and how does it factor into the U.S. Marshals Service financial management strategy? We will ask Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the U.S. Marshals Service, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How can government cut costs and improve performance? What are federal agencies doing to be more transparent, participatory, and innovative? How is the Navy strengthening its information dominance for the 21st century? What is the U.S. Postal Service doing to reduce its carbon footprint and green its operations? And how are state and local governments doing more with less? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the United States Marshals Service. Also joining us today from IBM is Lori Feller. Ed, recognizing the importance of accurate and timely financial information, would you tell us more about your financial management modernization strategy and the important role that the Unified Financial Management System, UFMS, plays in that strategy? What can you tell us about this initiative?
Well, the Marshal Service is one of the components of the Justice Department, and as such, when it comes to financial systems modernization, something we call big and significant, like acquiring a new COT system, basically that, I want to say it's basically too big of an item for component to take on itself in today's world. Large complex systems really require, really strong infrastructure and strong base and economies of scale. And those economies of scale have been and really can be provided by, the department level. So what the Marshall Service did was, recognize that basically it's our turn at bat. DEA and ATF were before us. The FBI has begun their implementation efforts, and there will be other components of the department coming. So it's with our turn at bat, it was an effort to say, what does the agency have to do, to get ready to make this thing happen? We own and operate a COTS financial system now. It was purchased and installed in 1997. We've done everything we can to make that system as workable as possible for the Marshall Service. That has included writing a lot of, developing a lot of interfaces, to meet our particular needs. But over time, there's only so much that can be done with a product that was purchased that long ago. Like I said, it was, the people, we've worked hard to make it the best it can be, but it quite frankly isn't robust enough to meet our needs going forward. Therefore, we're working with the department to go ahead and make UFMS a reality at the Marshall Service. And when I say working with the department, we have, because it's a financial management system, but of course all automated systems have an information technology component also. So the Marshall Service, our information technology division, works closely with the departments. Our financial division works closely with them also. So it's really a major coordinated effort to say we have something to move toward, and we have to focus our attention on pretty much picking up off of where we are today and getting onto this larger platform going forward.
Ed, budget and performance integration lies at the heart of ensuring both strategic allocation and efficient use of funds. And given your perspective, how has your agency sought to expand the use of financial data to inform its management decision-making process?
That has been a continuing and ongoing effort to make sure that the decision-makers throughout the Marshall Service, from the director right on through to the associate director, deputy director, associate directors, staff offices, and as I mentioned earlier, most notably our district offices, have what they need to get the job done. The Marshall Service, one of the things that I always found intriguing about it, and also poses some of the bigger challenges to us right now as we go to implement UFMS, is we manage a variety of funds and budgets from a variety of different places. Like most agencies, we have a salaries and expenses budget that takes care of our pay and benefits and rent, telephones, automobiles, ammunition, and so forth. It's kind of our bread and butter account. That's about $1 billion right there for salaries and expenses. We also handle other types of funding that really does put an emphasis on as you mentioned, about budget and performance integration. We pay state and local governments to house and prisoners, and to take care of their medical needs. We own and operate an airline, Justice Prisoner and Alien Transportation System, through which we provide transportation for both the Marshal Service, the Bureau of Prisons, and some state and local governments. The United States courts transfer money to the Marshal Service to manage, to pay for the aforementioned court security officers who guard the courthouses. And again, one of the biggest chunks of money that comes our way that we need to really manage and take particular care of is the Asset Forfeiture Fund, where the Marshal Service obtains from typically the Drug Enforcement Administration and others, property that has been seized, and we have to manage that property during the administrative or judicial process to make sure that when the court is done, if the property needs to go back to the rightful owner, it does. And but if it's forfeited, then the Marshal Service would then have to handle the financial aspects of selling that property and depositing the money into the department's asset forfeiture fund.
Ed, after serving 9 years as the Chief Financial Officer, or CFO, you are now the UFMS Project Executive. What opportunities does this present to you? What type of perspective do you bring to UFMS?
I think on that idea, really, the main point was that the Marshall Service has to do an annual financial statement audit every year, And as I mentioned, with our existing system, we were doing everything we could to make incremental changes to the system and to our processes to make our audit as sound as possible. There comes a time when one realizes that incremental changes are good to some degree, but at some point you need to make the big, bold changes to really drive home the type of things that need to change. So the implementation of UFMS at the Marshal Service was and is just that, is that big, bold opportunity to take that large step forward and really help bring all the different automated processes into play at one time. So I think that's really something that opportunity is really significant to make, improvements today, but also lay the groundwork for the future for the agency.
It's a great segue to my next question, which is, given the resource constraints and increased scrutiny on federal spending, agencies, including the Marshal Service, are increasingly asked to do more with less. In this case, delivering a financial management solution that is not only effective and efficient, but also aligns with the government's IT management reforms. Can you elaborate on some of the best practices that guide federal financial managers to better optimize resources as they implement financial management systems that best serve their agency's mission?
Yes, I think that the federal government has come a long way in terms of committing to particular principles. One of those I mentioned earlier, and I really do believe in, is this concept of a systems development lifecycle, a very kind of an engineering-based, focused approach to building an IT system. And a lot of times I think people look at that and say, wow, 24 months to make an implementation, that sounds like a long time. But a lot of times it's really just a case that the lessons learned and the experiences over time have indicated that the kind of that well-thought-out, highly structured approach is the way to go in terms of really making the whole thing work. So to be part of that is really interesting, to move between the planning and the requirements tasks, moving into testing, configuration, and eventually implementation, training. And even a lot of times, once we go live on a new system, there's people have thought through the idea that, we flipped the switch and now we're processing in this new environment that we're done. Well, no, people have really come to recognize you're not done yet. There's something called post-implementation support where there's, people are there to answer your questions for 4 to 5 months and to work through, any unanswered questions or unresolved issues because, we try to get it right, try to think of everything, but I think it's inevitable that, once the system goes live, there's still a matter of a learning curve that people are going through. So, again, my impression is the federal agencies have helped each other and learned a lot over time to try to come up with the things that work the best.
How is the external environment, including the guidance issued and reviews conducted by the Office of Management and Budget, impacted the UFMS implementation within Marshal Service? Have you had to change your implementation strategy? And if so, how?
We were, our implementation strategy through the OMB process was affirmed that the Marshal Service implementation was, like I said, we were up at bat, and OMB, reviewed what had happened so far at Justice and gave the green light to the Marshal Service implementation. One of the things we had done working with the department that appealed to OMB was we had chunked our implementation. We had broken it into phases. We, started small, and we spent several months bringing up an acquisitions piece, the contract writing tool. And that really provided our organization with, an ability to pretty much, as they say, put our toe in the water and learn a lot of the terminology, learn a lot of the people and the processes and what it would take to bring up a financial system. So, as a component of the department, we were fortunate that the leadership at the department level is so committed to the project that they really worked hard on our behalf and on the FBI's behalf and others that will follow to make sure that, the funds that have been provided were secured and that the efforts were underway. What we have, of course, is OMB will continue to play an ongoing oversight role to make sure that, to keep an eye to make sure that things are moving in the right direction. And, that's part of their role and their function, and that's something that, we look forward to. We meet with them on a regular basis to keep them informed.
Ed, you've mentioned lessons learned and the importance of capturing them. I want to switch gears and talk about that a little bit. I understand that the UFMS acquisition application has been implemented. What are some of the lessons you've learned from that, and how have you captured them, and what are you doing to make sure that your approach and implementation is being informed by these lessons?
I believe on lessons learned, it's I believe strongly it's in a lot of things. You have a formal process and an informal process. In the formal process, there's really a matter of capturing the lessons learned, writing them down, committing them to paper, getting people to read, and agree that, yes, this was a key point, this was a key fork in the road on this implementation. Here's a decision that we made that really carried us forward in a good direction. Here's another decision we made that, look, in retrospect, we probably could have done a little better there. Informally, I think that we all learn every day. It was a talk about the old, if you put your finger on the stove and you get burned, you tend to avoid doing it again. So we just take lessons that we've learned, occasionally get burned and recognize that you might not want to do that again. And then other times, on the positive side, lessons learned. I've been very fortunate to, work with people at the what's known as the Program Management Office within Justice Management Division, with a lot of people down who work there with a wealth of experience in systems development areas. Until it's clear to me that everybody brings those experiences to the job every day. Also, the folks at Drug Enforcement and ATF. Have just been great. They'll drop what they're doing and come over and meet with us or have us come over, and then they really seem to enjoy the opportunity to help the next guy in line. And so that's an example of a lesson learned in a practical matter on a daily basis.
Well, Ed, all executive branch agencies must undergo a financial statement audit each year. How do you expect the new financial system to improve your audits? And keeping up on this lessons learned, what lessons would you share with your other sister federal agencies?
Yeah, the financial statement audit is something that, has been a part of Marshall Service financial management leadership since the late 90s. And, one of the areas we look at if and when we receive a material weakness or significant deficiency, it's putting in place a corrective action plan to really address what's ailing us. And a lot of times there are things we can fix. It's through training, through awareness creation. And there are other times when, quite frankly, it comes down to the fact, the auditors will write a report on internal controls and compliance and simply say, the existing system that the Marshall Service is using is not compliant with some of the federal financial management laws and regulations. So those are the ones that are harder to correct until and unless you pick up and move from the existing system to a new system. And I think that's one of the things that really is encouraging to the Marshall Service leadership is the idea of knowing that we're moving to a system that is compliant, with laws and regulations, and that in order for the system to be made available to us, it had to undergo rigorous testing and examination. And so, there's a sense of security in knowing that we're moving to something available at other federal agencies and in use. And so that's what I really think is pushing us forward.
How is the Marshall Service managing the UFMS implementation? We will ask Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the U.S. Marshals Service, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How is the federal government leveraging award prizes to spur innovation and solve tough problems? Pick up the latest Senate report, Managing Innovation Prizes in Government, and find out. Drawing on such successful efforts like the Lunar Lander Challenge and DARPA's Grand Urban Challenges, this report offers practical insights and recommendations for the design, implementation, and evaluation of innovation prizes in government. You can order or download a free copy of Managing Innovation Prizes in Government and all Center reports at businessofgovernment.org. Telework has been touted as a winning strategy for government. In fact, a study by the Telework Research Network claims potential savings of nearly $3.8 billion. In a recent IBM Center report, Implementing Telework, Lessons Learned for Four Federal Agencies, Professor Scott Obermeyer presents case studies of federal agencies who have successfully implemented telework in their organizations. You can order or download a free copy of this and all Center reports at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the United States Marshals Service. Also joining us today from IBM is Lori Feller. Ed, the Marshals Service is a highly decentralized environment, and the system is going to have to configure to, I think, over 1,000 users. A system as large as this is sure to run into some obstacles, whether it's funding or user community issues. What are some of the key implementation challenges you've faced as a result, and how have you worked through them?
Well, we are beginning to work through those things. You know, at this stage of the development, our efforts to bring on the districts are really ramping up. We're getting ready to begin a monthly conference call with the district offices. We'd like to do more in person, but obviously when we're spread out as far as we are, you know, we're going to have to rely on teleconferences and other tools, you know, to get out X amount of information. We've also developed a website that's available to the districts to use. I think that what we have is the Marshals Service has been managing money for 222 years in a variety, you know, one way or another. So it all started with the ledger sheets, you know, with people, actually keeping a physical book, pen and pencil. And the Marshals Service over the years has evolved to take advantage of, you know, the latest technologies as they become available. So we're fortunate that throughout the agency we have a fairly broad financial management infrastructure with people who know the basics, and beyond the basics. They understand federal appropriations law and Anti-Deficiency Act and a lot of the different things, Prompt Pay Act, that they need to focus on. So when we go to roll out UFMS, the people who will be learning the new system, we're fortunate to know that they understand the basics of federal financial management accounting. Our focus of the training will be this transition, you know, from the existing automated system to the new one. Now, along those lines, over the course of the last 4 years, the Marshals Service had, we used to have a really old system in our district offices, but we committed as a pre-positioning effort for UFMS to move the district offices off of that old FMS system, as we called it, on to the headquarters system called STARS. That effort, there was a lot of change management initiatives there, and that. But as I mentioned, we really looked at that as an essential pre-positioning. We still have a big jump to take as we move from STARS into UFMS, but by having taken that one major effort, which I said spanned several years, then I think that is really helping us get ready for this next big step.
So, Ed, to continue along those lines, how do you envision the new processes and the system impacting the Marshals Service, specifically from a people perspective, as well as from an effectiveness and efficiency perspective?
I think one of the really wonderful aspects of a new, more modern system is the seamless flow of information from the beginning of the financial process all through all the various stages. Currently, our acquisitions or procurement system in the district office, there is not an automated link to the financial system. Some people refer to that as sneaker net because people have to actually produce a hard copy document and get up out of their desk and walk down the hall to get signed. And in a new environment, the procurement document creation will be available to be sent to the next person in the approval chain. I think originally that's going to take some getting used to because some people who haven't had to use the financial system now are going to need to as a way of reviewing and approving documents. So I think the integration of procurement, budget, and financial management under one roof is really important. One of the things we just recently decided to do to really push that effort is we have a, one of the division's headquarters is the Financial Services Division. And here late in February, all the employees of that division are going to come together in one place at one time to get a, you know, kind of a walkthrough of the system. And we're going to do it in kind of a fun, interactive way. And it's a way of saying if the HQ, the main Financial Services Division headquarters, can really embrace what we're doing, that they're the most effective, can be the most effective spokespersons for interacting with our districts and our HQ divisions.
So when it comes to government, the public demand has been around accountability, transparency, and results and outcomes. What are you doing specifically with the implementation of UFMS to meet the public demand?
Yeah, well, I think that the public demand for financial information is really a good thing. It really drives through an organization a recognition that, you know, the president has a responsibility to produce a budget and submit it to the Congress, and that that budget information is available, you know, both to the members of the Congress but also to members of the public. So the Marshals Service has always been right there with the department and the rest of the components in terms of a recognition that we're the money that we manage, the money that we oversee, the money that we account for is public money. And when you're handling public money, it's a particular public trust factor. And, you know, a recognition that we owe it to the public to do the best with, you know, the funds that are entrusted to us as possible. So providing open, transparent information is really baked in to everything we do. And it's a recognition that we owe it to the public to make sure that we're spending the money the best way possible through all those different programs, like I mentioned. As I mentioned, you know, running a prisoner airline, you know, we want to make sure that to the greatest extent possible when it's ready to take off that the seats are filled, you know, that we're running an efficient route. Asset forfeiture, we want to make sure that we keep the properties up to date so that when it comes time to sell, we can maximize the amount of money available to us. So I think that the Marshal Service is, has always been, you know, right there with everybody else, with the rest of the department, and making sure that we provide the information as thoroughly as possible.
So the private sector has been working closely with the federal government in a number of areas. And one area includes assisting and improving financial systems and processes, conducting financial statement audits, and even performing, in some cases, financial operations. What do you think the private sector can do better to help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our government's financial management?
In a word, I would say innovate. I think innovation has really been the backbone of the American success story. That people come up with the great ideas and find a way to commercialize them and make them broadly available. I know each of us here today, you know, have some type of handheld device, the BlackBerry, the cell phone, the PDA. That's really a product of private sector innovation. And from that, it's made available to the government employees to, you know, to purchase and to make our jobs more efficient. So that's really what I think I've seen with the private sector, with the you know, the a drive, the, you know, the profit motive is a strong motive, and it helps you know, private industry to recognize that when really good products and really good services are developed, the government wants to buy things that will help the government meet its mission and objectives and serve the public as best as possible. And you're right, Lori, I've seen the private sector really, you know, come into agencies and make a difference, you know, in terms of the work that they can do and work in cooperation with the federal employees, with a recognition that it's mission first. We always have to remind ourselves every day, you know, what is the focus. Fortunately, at a place like the Marshal Service, that's I have those opportunities regularly. As a matter of fact, just you know, just recently, the President Obama nominates United States Marshals, and one of the things we do at the Marshal Service is have the newly appointed Marshals come to town with their family, and we have a swearing-in ceremony. And I think there's an opportunity for us to remember that first and foremost, U.S. Marshals is here to serve, uphold the law, and be an integral part of the federal judicial system.
Ed, with any large-scale system implementation to be successful, you need a team of employees. Would you elaborate on your approach to empowering your employees and driving change within your teams?
Yes. You know, we have, throughout the Marshal Service and other organizations, we have individuals who play key roles in making things happen. And, you know, what we call business process owners, people who run the financial operations, people who handle budget formulation and budget execution. And what we find is getting everybody committed, and that really hasn't been that difficult to do, because there's a recognition that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, the department and the Marshal Service will benefit from the implementation of the system. So the benefit comes, but there is a cost, and the cost a lot of times is the time investment of the experts and the owners throughout the agency to sit down, and I'll use the term patiently, explain what it is that they currently do, to be exposed to the new processes that will be out there in the new environment, and then to work together to bridge from what we would call the as-is world to the to-be world, where we are today to where we are tomorrow. So I find that the basic fundamental recognition that, you know, change is coming, we're about ready to, you know, we're in the process of embarking on something big. Most people, although, you know, sometimes a little nervous about what that change might bring, there's a recognition that, you know, it's going to take time and it's going to take an investment of people's energy. But in the end, it's going to be a big payoff.
Ed, I have another follow-on question relating to that, and it really goes to the core of what your definition of success is for your efforts. Would you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think I will say, simply put, you know, success in this effort is implementation of a new financial system at the Marshal Service, and that's the initial thing that we would call go live, you know, the day that we flip the switch and, you know, the old system is off and the new system is on. But really, success and beyond that is going to be over the months, the days, the months, and the years as we use the new opportunities to drive change, improve processes, and really, you know, in a focus on the mission to make sure that the financial management function that's being performed is supporting the law enforcement mission, to making sure that judges are protected, that fugitives are apprehended, the prisoners are moved. We always keep that in mind, that what we're here for is to support, you know, that basic law enforcement mission, and to do it, you know, as efficiently and effectively as possible, so that, you know, resources are made available for those frontline operations.
How does the U.S. Marshals Service leverage partnerships to meet its mission? We will ask Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the U.S. Marshals Service, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. This is the Center This Week, highlighting the latest trends and best practices for improving government effectiveness. I'm Michael Keegan, Managing Editor of the Business of Government magazine. The Center This Week is our opportunity to inform and, most importantly, to invite you, our listeners, to use the IBM Center for the Business of Government as your resource, a how-to resource for improving government effectiveness at the federal, state, and local level. First up, At the Center, Moving to the Cloud, An Introduction to Cloud Computing and Government by David Wild. Published by the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The term cloud computing has at its core a single element. Computing services are delivered over the Internet, on demand, from a remote location rather than residing on one's own desktop, laptop, mobile device, or even on an organization's server. For an organization, this would mean that for a usage fee, it would contract with a provider to deliver applications, computer power, and storage via the web. What will be the impact of cloud computing, and how can it deliver on its promise? Chief information officers report spending over 40% of their time and 60% of their budget on delivering routine services to their organizations. These routine services are what cloud computing can deliver cheaply and easily. Dr. Wild's report looks at specific case studies of how cloud computing is being used presently across the public sector. It looks at cloud projects taking place within General Services Administration, NASA, and the Department of Defense. It also looks at cloud computing efforts internationally, with specific focus on the G-Cloud and the Digital Britain project in the United Kingdom. The report examines 10 challenges facing government leaders as they work to integrate cloud computing into their IT strategies. Some of the challenges facing government leaders are the need for scalability, the need for high reliability, the need for securing data in the cloud, and the need for open standards and interoperability. Dr. Wild also offers a cloud migration strategy. Step 1, learning. Both techies and non-techies need to understand cloud computing and the potential it holds. Step 2, organizational assessment. Understand your real IT utilization and how cloud-based storage, applications, and processing power might replace and supplement present IT capacity. Step 3, conduct a pilot project to test how clouds work for your agency and with your existing technology and people. Step 4, conduct a cloud readiness assessment. Determine where cloud can and cannot be used as part of your organization's overall IT portfolio. Step 5, develop a cloud rollout strategy. Integrate cloud offerings as part of the agency's overall IT approach. And step 6, continuous cloud improvement. Moving to the Cloud, an Introduction to Cloud Computing and Government by David Wild addresses the use, challenges, risks, and prospects for cloud computing in the government. You can download a copy of the report by going to businessofgovernment.org, and there you can find out how the business of government is not business as usual.
The Open Government Directive called upon each federal agency to formulate a plan for how it intended to increase openness and public engagement in its programs and operations. The latest Senate report, An Open Government Implementation Model, Moving to Increase Public Engagement, provides a roadmap federal agencies can use to guide their efforts. You can order or download a free copy of this and all Senate reports at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual. From contaminated peanut butter to spinach, our food safety net has shown signs of fraying, with tainted products slipping through to retail shelves, causing human harm and economic ruin. Pick up the latest Senate report on food safety and find out how critical private-public partnerships are enhancing the current food safety system in America. You can order or download a free copy of this and all of our reports at businessofgovernment.org. The U.S. workplace is undergoing a significant transition that presents uncharted territory and tremendous opportunity. The latest Senate report, Engaging a Multi-Generational Workforce, Practical Advice for Government Managers, examines 6 trends now occurring in the workplace and describes how leaders can successfully manage through these trends and their challenges. These are the challenges of leading a multi-generational workforce and is increasingly driven by rapid technological changes that have changed the nature of work and how it gets done. You can order or download a free copy of this report and all Senate reports at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the United States Marshals Service. Also joining us today from IBM is Lori Feller. Ed, I have the pleasure to ask many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies in the private sector to achieve mission results. How are you leveraging partnerships to improve financial management operations and program outcomes, and how do you envision these partnerships changing over time?
Well, partnerships are really the key to what we're doing here. When you look out and see that in order to make the unified system a reality, it took the work of CGI was the company that developed the Momentum software, and then IBM is the company that has integrating that software and developing the implementation strategy for the DOJ components. Then at the Marshals Service, we've contracted for our project management office support, which is a partnership that we have there. So I think it's really a case where, the other place we have to look are within justice. As I mentioned, this system runs at our data center in Rockville, so there's interaction that has to occur with the data center and the network and so forth. So a lot of times when people at the Marshals Service, see me, walking down the hall or on the elevator, they say, man, there's a lot of moving parts in this system. And I say, yeah, there are. There is a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of partnerships. There's a lot that has to happen. But again, I think we are very fortunate to have leadership at the department that says, we're going to make it happen. It's unambiguous. We have a UFMS executive board. And recently, the Deputy Attorney General spoke to us and really congratulated DEA and ATF for their efforts and then encouraged the rest of us to stick with it, to work as a team, as partners, to do something big and do something significant and overcome the challenges. So I think it's very motivating, the recognition that we can all work together, come from different walks of life, but again, that's America. And we work well together.
So, Ed, given your experience in the federal financial management space, you know, your work at DOJ, at both budget and finance, and now at Marshall Service, how have you really seen the role of the federal financial manager changing over time?
It has really changed a lot, Lori, and I think it's changed to the point of a recognition that all these things work together. The budget is in the federal government is does a lot, and quite frankly, in certain ways, it's the marketing aspect. You know, the budget office has to develop, you know, work with leadership to develop proposals, ideas, initiatives for the way the organization can adopt new programs to meet the mission. And that's a very important function. So budget has always been clearly at the forefront of a lot of financial management. What I've seen happen over time is through passage of key pieces of legislation, most notably like the Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990, Government Management Reform Act, and a lot of the others, was really an effort to take the finance office, what I call, from out of the back room and up to the table, with a recognition that, the accounting for the information and the providing the information to leadership and the public is very significant. So through the financial statement effort and a lot of the other areas, I think more than anything, I've really seen the growth and development of the finance office and a real strong integration with the budget team, to form that partnership going forward. You know, budget officers know that the financial data they're relying on is solid, then it really provides them with that great foundation to move out, to go over to OMB and to go to the Congress and make the case for the resources that they're requesting.
So turning it just a little bit, I know you've had so many memorable experiences in government, but if you could talk just about one of your unforgettable moments, I'd love to hear about it. And then outside of work, what do you like to do?
Well, on the unforgettable moments, I'll tell you, 28 years is a long time to really do something. But, it's been a very rewarding opportunity. And I think that as time went by, there's just been a lot of great people that I've had the fortune to work with. You know, really all starts with my mom and dad and my family. And then at work, people who've just been committed to them, committed to teaching new people, teaching them the ropes, showing them what's going on, both at the department and the Marshal Service. I've just really been fortunate that a lot of people invested their time and energy, in my development. I would say one of the more, a very particular rewarding thing that occurred, there was a time we had an Attorney General, Richard Thornburg, from the state of Pennsylvania, came to the Justice Department and asked, where is your capital budget? In the state of Pennsylvania, we have a capital budget, and why don't we have one here at Justice Department? And the controller at the department at the time asked me and another gentleman to do a little research on that and figure that one out. So we wrote a paper on the concept of capital budgeting. Another paper was written at the time about how the government accounts for money over what period of time, called the M-year legislation, arcane as it is. But what I saw happen was the controller at that time took those two different concepts, capital budgeting and this M-year legislation that had just been passed, and innovated, quite frankly, as I was earlier, just came up with just a resounding idea to say, look, what the Justice Department needs is the ability to take funds that are meant for law enforcement purposes, and once those funds have expired and are no longer available, instead of just taking them off the books, we're going to take that money and put them into this fund called a working capital fund and make them available for big things, big investments, things like building out a litigation network for the U.S. Attorney.